ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Thursday, February 28th, 2019, the last day of February. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. We're going to start a brand new month. I can't believe it. Been 20 days in spring. I like that.
I do, too. You know, we have, our temperatures are already looking up for the month.
Ours, too. Yes. Mm-hmm. 67 degrees down here yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I loved it. Outside, I was out in the woods, actually, riding around with my mule with my dog and marking trees to cut for firewood this year.
How much? What was the temperature?
67.
Well, I didn't have that, but...
What is it now? It's 60...
We're in the
40s. It's about 53 here, so it's not real.
We're still in the 40s. We're only in
the
40s.
That's not bad, though.
But sunny, I love it.
I do, too. Me and you both. I'm going to go up and sit on the beach with you.
Okay. All righty. I'll tell my dog, Ruby, to move on over.
There you go.
Hey, gold today moved on over. It didn't go up. Certainly went down, so I guess it's more down than over. We have gold 620 to the downside, 1,314. Silver's down 13 pennies today at 15.68. Platinum was stronger by a dollar at 873. Palladium recaptured 12 bucks today from the big loss yesterday at $1,546. The USDX today was stronger by 0.07 at 96.18. Crude oil was up 0.27 at 57.21. And the paper markets today, it looks like the Dow... let me get back to my regular sheet. The Dow was down 70 points, 25,916. The NASDAQ was down 21 points at 7,532. The S&P was down 7 at 2,784. 10-year yield, 2.71%, up 0.02. And the euro was 114. European Asian markets were basically unchanged. And... it's
all good in the neighborhood, Melody. The market's still up.
Absolutely.
It's all good in the neighborhood.
I did read
an article that, if, and you tell me if it's true or not, if I guess it is, surge in silver demand leaves U.S. Mint with no Eagle silver bullion coins. They ran out of them, they said, last Thursday in 2018. They're going to start, of course, they'll catch up again. Right? Did you hear about that article in Kitco News?
Well, I reported on it last week.
Oh, well, gee, forgive me. I'm sorry I'm too late. That's my favorite coin, too.
And I did explain to the listeners, and perhaps I should have done it during this week also. It is Thursday, but there's so much going on and so forth. I failed to bring it up. But, yes, the U.S. Mint did run out. And what had happened is, I don't know if it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they sell the Silver Eagles on an allotment. That means of the six wholesale dealers or whatever that number is, 6, 8, 10, that are signed up with the U.S. Mint, at one point in time, they could only buy so many. They had to put their orders in, and it was all done by allotment. About a year and a half ago, they threw away the allotment because business was slow, and their inventory was building up. We had two bad years of selling of Silver Eagles. Inventories were building up. They took away the allotments to where wholesalers could buy whatever they want, when they wanted, and no restrictions. And eventually, they ran low on inventory. And I think maybe maybe the government shutdown had something to do with it in January. Maybe they weren't able to keep track of what they had or something. Maybe they fell behind because of government shutdown. I don't know. I'm just assuming that the timing is kind of coincidental. And then in addition to that, you have always a big influx from 1 year to the next, and which we really did have a good buying of the 2019s heading right into January. So, you know, it was a perfect little storm in order for them to deplete their inventories. The report came out last week. They said, it'll probably take about 3 weeks before they could catch up on their inventory. But, I mean, so far I haven't seen any quote-unquote delays in delivery as yet.
Let me ask you a question, because you know I love that coin. I give them to my grandchildren on their birthdays. I really like the silver eagle. And I know it's probably a little more than just buying bullion, but it's a coin. Now, it says bullion coin, but that really is a silver dollar. Is that true?
It is a silver dollar. It's a silver dollar.
Yeah, and, so it's not just bullion. It's a real dollar.
It is legal tender. It just hasn't been written into law to circulate.
It's my favorite coin because it's a beautiful coin. It is. And I carry one in my wallet all the time to give people an education if I have time right on the spot between a FRN and a real silver dollar. And I show them the difference in value between the two when they used to be equal as far as worth, and now they're not. So that's my favorite coin. And people, I tell you what, if you haven't bought any silver eagles, you need to call Melody because they're a coin. They're just gorgeous coins. And they make fine gifts for grandchildren. And I give one to all mine until they're 18 years old. And my oldest one is getting married in June. She's 19, so I guess I'll quit giving her one. But nonetheless, they're just a good gift. I mean, and if you can explain to them what they are, it's special to them. It really and truly is. My uncle used to give me silver coins when I was growing up. And, of course, silver was common back then. 15 pieces, silver dollars were real silver. And I did not know, of course, being 10 years old, they were going to outlaw by the time I was 16. But if I'd known that, I would have got a whole bunch of them if I could have. So anyway, they're beautiful, beautiful gifts. They really are. And I suggest you get them, stick them in a birthday card or whatever you want to do, and give them as gifts. I think it's a good thought, don't you?
Absolutely. And whether they're for gifts or whether they're to preserve your purchasing power. And it's a great savings account. It's real money. It's a great educational tool. And gold and silver is not going to go away. It's only going to become more and more part of our system as this unfolds, as we see our fiat currency unfold, our, the global economies get destroyed by fiat currencies around the world. The U.S. economy fell a little bit short. It's 3% annual growth target in 2018. That's in despite of the $1.5 trillion in tax cuts. Gross domestic product increased at a 2.6% annualized rate in the fourth quarter after advancing at that 3.4% pace in the July-September period. Economists that have been polled by Reuters had forecast a GDP rising at a 2.3% in the fourth quarter, so it did do a little bit better than what they had forecasted. But we still had growth in 2018 that was strongest since 2015 and better than the 2.2% that was logged in 2017. So the fiscal stimulus did work, the tax incentive. From the tax cuts certainly had a major impact for 2018. But also, you saw this December economic data such as retail sales, exports, home building, and business spending on equipment has weakened pretty sharply. Manufacturing measures softened in January and February. Motor vehicle demand has eased. You see that the labor market is also exhibiting signs of cooling. And this is a report from the Labor Department today showing that the number of Americans receiving unemployment benefits is rising to a 10-month high in the week ending February 16th. So most likely the first quarter isn't going to be a good one either. Now, just because we see the unemployment benefits rising, doesn't mean that, the world's coming to an end. But what it does show me is I do believe that it's showing a trend, because this is, they did increase more than expected last week. The unemployment rolls increased to a 10-month high. So, again, I don't think this is earth-shattering, but it is establishing a trend.
Well, a gradual slowdown after a while, just about as a fast slowdown right now, it does eventually eat you alive. You know that.
Absolutely. The trend is showing that, the job losses for the retail and all these other places that we've talked about that are losing, what about Payless Shoes? I mean, this is going to come in and hurt, these job numbers and these unemployment claims are going to be rising.
I agree. And, I was thinking when we were discussing the year and the time, it's the end of February, we're in 2019, and next year we're going to change, again, in the as far as president goes, we'll see what happens. But you, do you realize 100 years ago, they were still using real money, Melody? You know, they still had gold and silver coins and real money in their pockets. But when you compare the 1933 dollar to what this value to today, if you can't see that less than 100 years, the dollar has almost went down to nothing because it's fiat, then obviously you don't know history. And if, and I was just reading the day that $13,000 worth of gold in 1976 is worth $136,000 now. Mm-hmm. Now, think about that. How, that's 10 times the amount that you had invested. And the dollars dropped. I didn't catch numbers on that, but it just dropped significantly because of that. But $13,000 worth of gold in 1976 would be $136,000 today. That would tell you where the investment should be. If you put cash in a safety deposit box, it'd be worth a whole lot less than that. I don't know what it would be. I didn't figure it out. But gold would have appreciated 10 times the amount. Now, how is that for a sound investment?
Well, it certainly is. And again, it's just, you're preserving your purchasing power because there's more and more dollars getting into the system. And again, it just weakens and it takes more of those dollars to buy more. And that's, your banks aren't paying any rate to offset any rate of inflation. So holding your money in a bank, you're just losing against inflation. I don't care if they say inflation is 1.2%, you're still losing.
That's true. That's very true.
You're losing.
And so. I'm sure you remember Reaganomics. I never did think much about it even when it came out. But Reaganomics says the father of Reaganomics warns, get out of the market and put your money in cash. Well, he's half right. It should be put in cash. We put in something more tangible. Nonetheless, that's the ominous sounding warning from David Stockman, the so-called father of Reaganomics, as he told Fox Business' Neil Cavado this week that investors ought to get out of the market and retreat to the presumed safety of treasury bills and gold and hard cash. Gold, I agree with. We're in year 10 of the longest business expansion in history. We're increasing the deficit at the very wrong time. They say it's $900 billion this year. It'll be $1.2 trillion by borrowing at the same time that the Fed is beginning to shrink the balance sheet, which means they'll be dumping bonds into the market. Now, that's coming from a guy that we'll say is not maybe all out and economically, I think, in some things he's way off. But nonetheless, he's telling people, get out of the market. Melody, I think that's a sound advice. I really do.
Well, I do follow David Stockman, and but you could always look and see agendas and so forth. But I mean, here's a guy who sees what's going on, and we are at the peak, and no one ever hits the peak. You either sell too soon or you're too late, but everybody waits thinking that they're smart enough to know when the peak is, and you're just not. No one is. Maybe 1% of the whole investment population of the financial planners, might get lucky. But if you're making gains on something, it's just like Wall Street's a gambling casino.
It is.
You go to Las Vegas.
It is.
You're supposed to pull your profits off the table. And you're not supposed to continue to gamble with your profits. You take your principal, pull your principal. But no one does that. They just keep keeping their money in, and eventually the house wins, and government and Wall Street is the house. They're going to win.
I'll ask you a question because I know you can top this a lot better than I do. But I've been doing some reading lately, and it looks like a lot of the people that hold a lot of stock, we'll say the higher-ups, are selling stock now and getting out of it. Do you think there's a reason behind that?
Sure, that's what these multinational corporations are doing. They're buying back their shares. They're going into debt to buy their shares. They entice people. The people see the numbers go up. Oh, they get pumped 24/7 on these financial news programs. You need to buy this one. This is up, and so forth. They don't tell you that the only reason that's up because they're buying the corporation's buying back their shares. People go in there and buy it, hold up that price, and of course, then the owners, the businessmen, management, of course, then they go and sell. So it's kind of like a pump and dump type.
Well, it certainly works because the hype is keeping the stock market up, and I keep wondering how they do it. I'm really shocked they've been able to do it this long, but they have. However they're doing it, they're doing a very good job of fooling the people and keep investing in it. $26,000 points is a lot of points in the stock market. And we know that at least 90% of it is all puff. There's nothing there, substance. We know that.
Right.
So time will tell what's going to come down. It will be coming down.
You know, I have an important article. I found this today, Butch. I know you wanted to talk about other things. It'll probably take us a little bit longer than, you know, the 3 minutes we have left before we head into the break. But I found this very interesting for a couple of reasons, and it's about the nation's farmers. And it's about how they are struggling to pay back loans after years of low crop prices. And then, of course, they have had a backlash from foreign buyers over President Trump's tariffs, with a key government program showing the highest default rate in at least 9 years.
Wow.
A lot of these agricultural loans come due on around January 1st, and that is in part to give producers enough time to sell their crops and livestock, gives them a little more flexibility in timing interest payments for tax filing purposes. But it is beginning to become a serious situation nationwide, at least in the grain crops. Those that produce corn, soybeans, wheat. The head of the Department of Agricultural Economics at Kansas State University, Alan Featherstone, is talking about how this is becoming a serious situation nationwide. With the government shutdown and the delayed reporting, January figures show an overall rise in delinquencies for those producers with direct loans from the Agriculture Department's Farm Service Agency. Nationwide, 19.4% of FSA direct loans were delinquent in January, compared to 16.5% for the same month a year ago. Wow. During the past 9 years, the agency's January delinquency rate hit a high of 18.8%. While those FSA direct loan delinquencies are high, the agency is a lender of last resort for riskier agricultural borrowers who don't qualify for commercial loans. Now, I love my farmers. Don't get me wrong. I would rather see solutions to the problems than by loaning them money just for some to default anyway. But my issue is, why is a government agency giving loans to farmers who can't qualify for commercial loans? And then the taxpayer would be on the hook for these, yes, subprime loans.
Well, wouldn't that be a win-win situation, though, for the government agencies if the farmers fall out and the corporate farmers buy them out and, you know, make them? I mean, that would, in my mind, that's a big motive to help them go bankrupt, because the corporate farmers won't take the small guys out, and we'll have everything GMO from that time on, everything controlled. Farmers are kind of important to us, and I agree. The government should never have gotten involved with subsidizing farmers. It shouldn't have been that way, but it's here, and it's going to stay, apparently.
Well, the situation now is not as bad as the farm credit crisis of the 80s, and that was at when we're heading into a break right now. So we'll continue this when we come back. It's just a little bit more that I want to talk about this, the farmer's delinquency rate with some of these loans. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
We will find you right.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Before we go on to anything else, I just want to finish this up about the farmers. And as I mentioned, that the situation is not as bad as the farm credit crisis of the 80s, which you had a time of high interest rates, you had falling land prices, that was marked by a widespread farm foreclosures. At the height of that crisis in 1987, the U.S. farmers had filed almost 5,800 Chapter 12 bankruptcies, and there were only 500 in 2018. But ladies and gentlemen, it's coming. Higher rates are coming. They're going to keep them as depressed as much as they can, but the markets are going to push them higher because they need to borrow. They need to sell that debt. And why would you buy any debt from a country that's bankrupt unless you're going to get something a little bit better from it? Or we're going to go right into negative interest rates. And I mean, the whole situation is crazy. And some fears are also surfacing in reports such as one from this month from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, which said that the outlook is pessimistic for the start of this year, with respondents predicting a further decline in farm income. And about 36% of farm lenders who responded said they had a lower rate of loan repayment from a year earlier. So there's a lot of people that are in denial about what's going on, but the reality of it is going to set in, and the reality is coming. And so again, we continue to see another factor in this country, our farmers that are beginning to, the only thing that's really keeping them above ground is their land values, because that's often what they use for collateral.
Yes.
And just like what you said, Butch, you know, yeah, government, yeah, that's, you know, they get all that collateral then, and they get all that land. So, you know, so it's only these land values that have basically kept the farmers from going into a situation like they did in the 80s. So,
well, you know, any time government gets involved, even loaning money,
yes,
it eventually destroys whatever it's involved in.
Yes.
It always does. And when farmers become dependent upon government money, whether like in bails from welfare, you depend on it, you got to have it. If not, you're going to go under. It's a shame, and farmers are kind of important to us, Melody. We kind of like to eat once in a while, don't we?
We do. And, you know, what's really sad, you know, if anybody was to fix tariffs, I'd like to see tariffs fix on the food that we import.
I agree. Get the American farmers no chance.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, I totally agree.
Absolutely ridiculous. You go to the store and you see, and you know, and these producers, they fight it all the time. They don't want to have to show you where the food is coming from. But you, I mean, you look at it, it's everywhere.
Yes, it is. And can you imagine what that would do for the farmers' bottom line if they were allowed to make the food, grow the food again they used to in this country? We used to feed ourselves and other nations. Now we can't even feed ourselves.
No.
Wow, so what a fall we've had. What a fall we've had.
And this is just something that doesn't go noticed by most people, because they can go to the grocery store. You know, 90% of the people don't look at the labels. They don't care where it comes from because they think everything is the same.
Yep.
And it's they call us global citizens. Well, you know, really we have global food. And so it's a shame to see our farmers treated this way. And
a lot of it is not food anyway. You know that.
No, it isn't.
It's filler. Do you remember? You weren't raised on a farm, but you used to feed the hogs something called Midland.
My grandparents were farmers.
Okay.
So don't think I was a city girl.
I didn't know it, but anyway, do you know what Midlands are? You used to feed the hogs. Fed hogs.
Yes.
Midlands were a filler for other food. It had no value to it. The hogs were standing there screaming with their bellies bulging because there wasn't any value in it. There wasn't anything they could live off of. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of food you have in America today. It'll make you fat, but no nourishment in it.
No nourishment at all.
Midlands. So, now I'm telling you.
Anyway, I saw that article, and I thought that was great information in there. And
it is.
Just kind of put things in perspective.
Well, a different topic. Trump walked out of the meeting in Vietnam, no deal, for a lot of reasons. Said he just walked out. They didn't even have lunch together because I guess they didn't want Kim Jong didn't want to go all the way with Trump on getting rid of the nuclear weapons, and he wanted all the terrorists lifted off, and Trump got up and walked out. Now, I don't know what that is going to mean in the future, but it just happened. I mean, Trump got up and walked out on the meeting. Now, what's your comments on that?
You know, we all knew that they, what I don't understand is supposedly they did have some sort of an offer.
Yeah, they did have an offer, right.
They did have an offer that they would, that they would have, do a permanent halt on some of the nuclear and ballistic missile tests and so forth.
As long as Trump would take all the sanctions off North Korea, they would do a partial nuclear disarming.
Well, now this is where it comes in. They said that they only demanded a partial sanction relief in exchange for shuttering its main nuclear complex. It wasn't all the things, and Trump is being praised by the Democrats that he did the right thing, but also North Korea comes out and says, hey, there may not be another opportunity like this one again. So I'm not sure they're sweetheart friends anymore. and I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I was hoping something could come from it. But then again, I really don't think he had any plans to denuclearize 100%.
I don't think that either. But North and South Korea now are crossing borders back and forth now. Maybe something good did come out of all this after all for as far as those two nations.
Well, that was the South Korean president, when he was elected, that was that was his goal. That was his goal, because they want to open up that pipeline from Russia. So they did want to open up those borders. And, you know, I think we played a big part because we got the military bases there. I don't know what's going to happen there now, but I don't know. I really don't have any comment on this, because you could read it both ways. And I'd have to think President Trump did the right thing.
Well, I like to think that. I really don't know either. We weren't there, and we aren't privy to the private conversations. I don't know for sure. This all may be a big game they're playing to keep people on edge. I have no idea, Mel. There's so much stuff going on anymore that I don't understand. The common sense things to understand would be easy to fix. But if they fix the common sense things, we wouldn't have all this hyperactivity going on in other places. They fix the foundations, we wouldn't be in this mess. You know that.
Absolutely. Everybody knew he wasn't going to denuclearize. I don't know why anybody would think that he would.
Well, I mean,
so
why should he? How many nations? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you approach the situation as he was not going to denuclearize 100%, then going and doing any type of summit was just a waste of time.
Yep.
You weren't going to do a halfway deal, you know? So, you know, maybe you had to do the summit just to draw the line in the sand and say, this is what you have to do. I don't know. You know, I'm not the negotiator, but everybody knew he would not denuclearize.
I think most anybody that had any sense knew that. And again, I why should he? I agree. Why should he? But you know,
and
different.
And one more thing is,
yes.
Did the hearing yesterday with Cohen have an impact on?
I'll get ready to cover that next. Yes.
Oh.
That'll be the next topic. Thank you.
Oh.
Before I forget, I'll make mention about the radio show, and we'll be back on the air Monday night, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I was going to wait till we came back from the break.
Okay, no problem.
Let's finish this topic while we're on it, and then you can.
Yeah, Michael Cohen, as you know, called Trump a con and a liar and a racist and all manner of things, and I don't know all about that. I really don't know, but I do know from what I've been reading, Cohen's pretty frightened right now, I guess, for a lot of reasons. He's going against he's goring a big bull here. Whether it's true or not makes a difference. He's still goring a big bull. As I texted you last night, I woke up in a soap opera. It's a constant, not just with Trump, but a lot with Trump. Back and forth between Republicans, Democrats, and this man, that woman, whatever. Constant drama in government today. You know that.
I do.
And it's not just here, it's around the world. We'll cover that in a minute, too. But nonetheless, it's constant drama. And change is happening fast, very quickly. Things are happening in this country that I never would dream possible. Of course, morally, we sank into the pits of hell already. And now we're seeing what this is Cohen, and we're discussing maybe all of the communists running for office in 2020. One of them has a good chance at least getting to run against Trump. I don't know. Now, what will Cohen's testimony mean anything? People say he's a liar already. Trump did, and he is a liar. And I'm sure he's up to his eyeballs with Trump. And if Trump did anything wrong, I'm sure he's up to eyeballs with him, you know, with his Stormy Daniels and all these other bull hockey. I don't know what you think about that, but I'm getting tired of hearing all this drama. I just get down to business. Let's run the country. Let people live and prosper and quit this nonsense back and forth. And when are we going to hear whether Trump's a Russian spy or not? You know, give us a break here.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was reading some reports today, and it's like nobody can even – I mean, I listen to the reports, and I've seen reporting where it's so wrong on what things were said and not said and so forth. And it's like, how can anybody get anything wrong? I mean, it was right there. You know, and it's – there's a lot of things that, you know – the way I see it, if Cohen is a liar, you can't be with somebody for 10-plus years – and be part of the family and not know he's a liar or condone it and go along with it. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So if you hang around the liar, I was always said, if you hang around the liar, that pretty much means you are too. Or that's how
that's
people would
true.
Perceive you. Yeah. So,
pretty
but
true.
So, you know what? I don't know. It's, you're right. It's just child's game. And I heard these Republicans yesterday, and I said this on yesterday's program, talking about, oh, well, we could be doing better things, helping this country and the people of this country. It's like, well, you know what? You say that today, but why do you have the lowest approval rating that you
mm-hmm.
do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you do anyway? 80% of your time, you're picking up the phone trying to get money. You know, you're out there campaigning and trying to get money for your elections and everything. They're a joke. Congress is a joke. I don't care what side you're on.
Well, it is a joke. And what's coming in the next election is even, it's scary. Melody,
it is.
I mean,
it's
with
sad.
All the things I've seen happen in the past elections, that's happened under Obama and all the other things, and under Bush, are scary, truly scary. But they continue to get even more scarier with each election. We have Sanders running for president again. Bernie Sanders is a communist. He actually said people lining up for food is a good thing. Now, he said this. And he raised $5 million in 24 hours for his campaign. This is absolutely insane. The man is a communist, but he's not by himself. He's been a communist. So is the women running against him are communists. And Biden is no better, really. It's just working down the same road. America that once had enough sense to remain on a free enterprise system with an economy and is allowed to work itself through and produce and profit is about over. I mean, they're literally seriously discussing Medicare for all now. Now, this isn't just a byword. It's now for sure they want Medicare for all. My goodness, Melody, this, how are we going to fund this? Who are they going to own? Who are they going to own to get this?
Doesn't anybody understand that if you have Medicare for all, your services are going to decline?
Absolutely. It would have to, Melody, because the service providers will be overloaded.
They'll be overloaded. You're going to get everybody and their brother going out there trying to get some sort of a degree so they can become a doctor. I mean, you're going to have a construction worker become a doctor just to get a job. That's an exaggeration, ladies and gentlemen. But look now. Look what you have now. You have nurse practitioners that are helping out in the doctor's offices because the doctors are too busy to see all the patients. So they bring in a nurse, they upgrade her degree so she can at least subscribe medication. It's just like a psychiatrist. You have psychologists, I believe, that can't prescribe medications, but psychiatrists can, or something like that. But don't have the school. They can fix the common, they can, you can see them if you have a cold.
Yeah, if we want to see the results of everything being socialized, communist, in other words, just look at Russia. Look at Canada's health care. Look at the European health care. If you want to see what it's like, check it out, folks. Check it out. And if you want to see what it's like to be owned, further owned by your government, let them provide your needs in every way possible. And if you don't behave, China won't let you even get on a train or do business. And Venezuela, now, if you don't behave, they're going to give you a card, cut off all your way to live, even. That's the Mark the Beast system. If you want to get involved in the Mark the Beast system, go in and elect these socialists, these communists. Let them own you, control your property, control your children, control your thoughts. Let them do that. But don't come crying to me and say I didn't tell you, because we only are telling you. If you elect these people, you're an idiot too. And I'm going to say this plain up and down the way it is.
And really, Butch, the only way you can stay out of their system is if you have your own money and you become your own central bank.
Absolutely.
It's the only way you can stay out of their system. And is that 100%?
No.
It's better than the alternative.
It definitely is. You'll have something to fall back on. You won't have to necessarily stand in food lines. And I don't know how to get people to see this, Melody. I've tried for years. You've tried for almost as long as I have. They'll make me get their eyes open. We're heading down a road to total enslavement as prophesied in Nehemiah chapter 9, folks. Read the last few verses. It's prophesied for us. It's going to happen. When it says that the king, Melody, will have dominion over your body, over your cattle, over your land, over everything. Is that not where it's heading to?
Yeah, it is. And remember, we reported, I think you brought it to the program, where government was going to send boxes of food to people that are on food stamps, and everybody thought this was such a great idea, and I says, no, it isn't.
I do remember that. You probably
this
remember
is the beginning of it, for feeding
it
everybody.
I remember
your
when
farmers
started out.
Are going out of business.
There you go.
Government is scooping up the... It's all by design, ladies and gentlemen.
And government gets the land and the commodities for pennies on the dollar when the farmer's out.
You betcha. Hey, I hear the music. We're going into a break, and Pastor Butch has an announcement when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter, and you can listen to these programs live right from the website at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, or you can listen to the archives. And, of course, we're on shortwave and several other places around the country. And, Butch, I believe you have an announcement to make regarding your program.
Starting Monday night, because of Melody Seastrom and her generosity to this ministry, we'll be starting three nights a week, Monday through Wednesday, at 8 o'clock. You can get all the details by going to PastorButch.com. We'll be on shortwave on 6115. You listen to us on phone lines. I don't have the number in front of me right now. You listen to us on Galaxy 5 on Rick's satellite. We'll be there, folks, Monday night, 8 o'clock, Monday through Wednesday, 8 p.m., 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope you'll join us. I really do. I know a lot of you folks listening to Melody's program listen to mine also. So pray that I can do a good job. Lord, bless us with the funds. Keep it going. I need to find a producer for the program. Aaron can no longer do it because I can't give her what it's worth to do it right now. But nonetheless, I just want to let you know it's going to start back, and we'll see what happens. And we do covet your prayers.
All righty.
Okay.
Good luck. I'm sure you'll do just fine.
Well, I appreciate your generosity to help us to get back on the air. I really do. More than I can tell you, I do.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of things change on shortwave over the years and with the internet, and it's just, you know, there's a lot of good people out there, but there's a lot of misinformation floating around and distorted. It's very difficult to you know. I find myself sometimes following a story, and then I look, and it's like, oh, gosh.
Well, it
because I always try to back it up. I have to find it in multiple places and in different places. If I go to all the same conservative folks who read each other's and write each other's material, I'm not going to find any. You know, how can I find out if it's true or not? So I actually go to find other places that maybe is outside the realm of the conservative movement and try to find it to back it up. Yep. And that's how you really find out, you know, not all the time, but that's one.
Well, I try to verify every questionable story about three different sources, if at all possible.
Yes, yeah.
That's just the way to do it. And I guess you already know this, too, that Maduro unloads another 8 tons of gold to Turkey, despite Trump's ban on anybody buying gold from Venezuela. They bought $330 million worth at the current prices. And Vice President Pence declared during a trip to Colombia that every last dollar generated by sales of Venezuela's oil, plus all the country's assets held abroad, should be turned over to opposition leader Juan Guaido and his shadow government in Caracas. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs there. I really don't. I do know that there's food on the shelves, but people can't buy it. I know that. That's a fact. That's been proven. And I also know that the U.S., Melody, is undermining Maduro. Whether it's right or wrong, although, according to what I've read, they had an honest election. Now, that's my opinion. That comes from a group of people that do that check these things out, and say they said the election was absolutely legitimate, and there's nothing behind the scenes going wrong here. But for some reason, the U.S. wants him out of there. I know they keep saying it's for the people's sake. I do not believe that. I was in Vietnam, and I know for sure we didn't fight the war there for people, for the Vietnamese people's sake. They didn't want us there. They didn't care who won. They wanted us to have the rice patch to go back to planting rice. They didn't care who won that war. Now, that is a fact, folks. You have to believe me if you don't want to. I don't care. I was there. But I'm just telling you that we're involved in this. I know I'm almost certain from articles I have sent to me from sources I have that we have troops already next door in Colombia. Special forces, just like we did in Vietnam. We sent them over first. So we will see. I don't know what to say on that, Melly, but I'm convinced that America is already in here undermining another nation like they've done. And how many nations around the world have we undermined or went out and outright killed their leaders?
Yep, we're good at the regime change.
We certainly are. But we cry when we think a Russian may try to get involved in our elections. Boy, that is hypocritical, is it not?
You know, there is a lot of... I don't know about the election in Venezuela. I know Maduro, and you get these socialists or communists, and, they'll do anything. And whether, he could have rigged the election and so forth. And, I mean, who knows? I mean, we really don't know. But does that mean it makes it right that this guy, Guido, can just go up there and say, nope, I'm the new president? Hey, I'm going to go to Washington, and I'm going to say, Mr. Trump, move over. I'm the new president.
Well, we're laughing about that, but if we don't change our course, we're going to have the same thing here.
Well,
we're going to have powers of be vying for control. It's already happening, Melody.
Yes, it is.
We had a group of people try to get the president kicked out on the 25th Amendment. That actually happened. It's already started.
Yes. It already started.
So it's going to get much, much, much worse. And people, if you don't prepare yourself, if you don't put back some food and some even guns and ammunition and get out of debt and buy some gold and silver to protect your what you have, all I can tell you is you're heading down a bad road. I'm not a wealthy man, but I can live without any outside interference where I live right now, Melly, because it's paid for. I have a little bit of finances put back, some gold and silver put back. I got food put up. I can live for a while. If you leave me alone, I can live here for several years without anybody bothering me. Now, I'm not bragging. It took me years to get this point, but I'm glad I did. I feel good about it. If something would happen tomorrow, I'm okay. I won't starve to death. That's a good thing, right?
Absolutely. Well, there's something else in another part of the world that this Pakistan and India, they were quiet for a really long time. 10 years, they minded their own business, didn't do much of everything. But now, not so much. You got these two nuclear powers. We touched on this briefly yesterday, but it's just another hot spot in the world that, boy, oh boy, anything could come out of this. And world leaders are asking for these two countries to, tone down the comments and so forth. So it's...
It's heating up.
It's trying to de-escalate these tensions.
India apparently has built 14,000 bunkers along the border of Pakistan, and they're preparing for military war, and it could be nuclear war. It said Pakistan armed forces claim to have shot down two Indian Air Force aircraft over its Kashmir territory. I don't know whether they're not. Indians in return say they shot down a Pakistani F-16 fighter just over Indian occupied Kashmir's Jammu region. I don't know, but there's certainly a lot of things happen on there, and it's kind of like tit for tat. One, you hit me, and I'll hit you. And it's going back and forth, and these people are nuclear powers. If they would go to war, and especially a nuclear war, my goodness, what could that trigger worldwide?
Absolutely.
This is scary. It really is.
Because I don't know. This is different than a lot of them. And yeah, they've been to this point, before, and they back down. Tensions are, scuttled and so forth. They do, but it's, And they've been at this with this cashmere, I think, since what, 19, you know, in the late 40s.
Oh, yeah, they fought back and forth for 75 years anyway.
Yeah.
They have. And, you know, we're talking about our nation unraveling. Well, Netanyahu is being charged with bribery, and looks like Trudeau is under pressure, and he may be out in Canada soon. So we're not the only nation to have turmoil inside their governments, so to speak, and certainly corruption. I'd find it hard to believe any nation in the world that doesn't have corruption in their government. I mean, that would be something that I'd have to see to believe.
So. And, you know, with old Bibi, you know, he comes out and he says, oh, you know, he's lipping President Trump. This is a witch hunt. You know, this is all these cases are fake and all. And it's just like, you know, not everything is fake. There might a lot be fake. Some might just be a witch hunt, but maybe not all of it is. I mean, I'm no fan of Bibi, but, you know, I think he has a little bit of a history. But
most of them do. Most of them do, including Trump. Yeah. Including Trump. I mean, there's people, and I know some people are screaming because I'm a never Trumper. I never have been a never Trumper. I'm just someone who says, well, this is what we have now. Let's keep an eye on him. He promised things he hasn't done. He had 2 years to get a lot of things done, controlling both houses, and really accomplished very little. And now, with the Democrat-controlled House, who just, by the way, just passed a very sweeping gun control law through the House. It's H.R. 8, which would make background checks for any type of firearm sale, basically, or transaction. And so that includes private sales or whatever. But nonetheless, he's now got a Democrat-controlled House that will say hate him and his policies. He can do anything with both houses on his side. What's he going to do now?
Are you asking me that question?
Or yeah, just your comment, yes.
Oh, you know, it's... You know, I like you. I want it to be... I want President Trump to be successful. And so, and there were some things that he's done, but when I, you know, you can look at the tax cuts, you know, they weren't good for this country at a time. They, you know, you don't do these types of tax reform when the economy is supposedly doing well. You go back, it was all stemmed after Ronald Reagan's tax reform, and look what happened to him. His debt was increased by 123%. We weren't bankrupt back then. We are today. So, you know, everybody can applaud the tax reform, but was that tax reform really good for this country? I don't think it was. I don't think temporary fixes are good for this country.
It is not.
I don't, you know,
Put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. It is and doesn't help.
No. Our tax reform for individuals expires. The corporation's tax reform is permanent. So, you know, the taxpayer was not helped. I don't care what they feed you when you go and get your tax reform. You're going to be paying more in your taxes in the very near future. So, no, that tax reform didn't help this country on a permanent basis. So, I don't know. The tariffs, hey, bring them on. Renegotiate. But what have they really done? You had the renegotiations of NAFTA. I don't even think they voted on that yet.
That's been going on for 2 years.
You know, well, but it was, you know, to give President Trump credit, I mean, it takes time to do these things.
It does take time. I understand that.
You know.
But again,
but
he had 2 years with both houses on his side, supposedly.
But this has been done for the past, since last fall. It was completed, I think. No, I think it was completed in, I don't remember, maybe the end of last year. But, I mean, it's not discussed anymore.
No, it's not.
The tariffs with China, it's a great thing. Bring it on. But look at what's going to happen when we do that. And perhaps these changes in the trade agreements will be necessary for when our economy collapses. Maybe we will be in a better position at that point in time. I hope so. So,
well, 2019, I think, is going to be a lot of, and we just got started into it, actually, 2 months into it. I look for a lot of things to happen in a lot of different ways, but financially, I do expect some things to really change.
I do,
not
too.
For good, not for the good.
I do, too. I think we're going to have the job losses creeping into this country. You're going to have more and more defaults. You know, auto loans, they're defaulting. You might not have home defaults yet, but they'll come.
Well, it's getting bad enough now that depression and self-harm for millennials are up 15% over the last few years. I mean, they're actually, it's depression and self-harm, I assume that means suicide, is up 15% over the last few years because the pressure is on them to, you know, to keep things going. If the economy is doing so well, why are people not be able to, why are these people losing their cars, automobiles? That's the millennials. Why can't they buy homes? If it's so good, what's going on here? There's something wrong here if they're just so depressed over these things that they're willing to kill themselves.
Well, you know, here's a Pepsi Company announced its full year 2018 financials last week. Revenue was up, but profit was up more, 158% more.
Wow.
Over the year prior. So why is Pepsi acting like a company in crisis, announcing a four-year restructuring plan designed to save the company billions of dollars? Pepsi's going to spend $2.5 billion on layoffs and plant closures. So, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. They want to be leaner, more agile, less bureaucratic.
The government ought to try that.
but they're going to be laying off. They're going to spend $2.5 billion in restructuring costs, 70%, which will be severance payouts.
Wow.
It's pensions, ladies and gentlemen. Pensions and retirements. They want to get rid of them. Hey, we're out of time.
We're out of time.
How about that?
I'll see you next Tuesday, and folks, I'll see you on the air Monday night, Lord willing.
All righty. And give me the info, and I'll make sure I repeat it again tomorrow. So, ladies and gentlemen, till then, safe, good night, and God bless. Have a plan. If I got me